All right, go to the right in the middle of your Holy Bible to the book of Psalms. We're going to join David in Psalm 71 this morning. Again, a big shout out to any veterans, and if you know some, just love on them today, if you would. Psalm 71, among others in Scripture, David is one of my heroes. I love David. He's fully human, but oh, such a lover of God. And I want to bring a word today on the topic of hope to us this morning, and just try to dissect that a little bit and see what God might say. But of all the people in Scripture, I would say David is definitely one that knew the secret of hope, because he knew God and he was convinced of the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God. David found the need to be given over to hope again and again, and he was very, very familiar with looking and leaning on the Lord. Even as we sang this morning, you know, lift your eyes, raise your eyes to Jesus. David knew how to do that. It's easy to raise our eyes to the Lord in good times, but also in bad times, we want to resist the temptation to panic and to freak, but to be in the habit of looking toward the Lord. David was in such a habit. If you'll go with me into verse 1 of chapter 71, David said, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men." Verse 5, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become abhorrent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." Lord, whatever secrets David knew, I pray today we would know. May it be our very natural reaction to turn swiftly to you, into places of hope, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, all right. Well, down here in verse 5, I want to highlight this. David said, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." And I like the pairing together of these two ideas and these two terms. To me, hope in its purest form is simply confidence in God. Confidence in God. And it's purest form. And we see here the words are almost interchangeable. But that is my definition. They're synonymous. There's a connection, a correlation. You have been my hope, dot, 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 my confidence. My confidence. My confidence. My confidence is in God. My hope is not in hope. My hope is in the Lord. That's a big difference. My hope is not in hope. My hope, i.e. confidence, must be in Him. Must be in Him. David had a great relationship with God, and we can see this confidence springing up in many places. Many times his back was against the wall. Have you ever had your back against the wall? Many times our friend David had his back against the wall. We can see it when he confronted Goliath, when he confronted the Philistines, when he was having to wait on the timing of the Lord, being harassed from a demonized madman, King Saul, when he was being chased by his own rebellious son Absalom. Time and time again, we find David's back against the wall. We find things looking dark. We find things looking bleak. We find things in the natural looking hopeless. But yet we see this strange and unusual confidence that bubbles up in the heart of David. They're in obvious places, as I just mentioned, but they're also in some very unusual places as well. And again, remember, David knew the nature of God. He was convinced of his nature. Do y'all remember when David was guilty for counting the fighting men? And Joab was like, oh, no, king, I cannot go do this thing you're asking me to do. He asked him to number Israel. He was taking pride in his pride. He didn't need to do that. And at face value, you may ask, well, what's the big deal? We even have a book called Numbers. What was the issue there? In God's economy, there was something in the heart of David that was displeasing to God. So you'll remember that even against the advice of his own cabinet, as it were, he went ahead and sent out the order to number the fighting men. And so he was guilty due to pride. And so we find in 2 Samuel 24 that the prophet Gad, he was a seer, even David's seer. Because of this sin and this transgression, the prophet spoke on behalf of God and gave David three options by the word of the Lord as a consequence to sin. He said, David, number one, you can either have 3 years of famine. Number two, you can have 3 months of fleeing from your enemies. Or number three, you can have 3 days of plague in the land. And then David swiftly responded in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 24. And I love it. Again, remember, David knew God. He said, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. Do not let me fall into the hands of men. In other words, if I'm going to get a spanking, God, I submit myself to you, but don't turn me over to men. I don't trust them. They don't have in their heart what I know is in your heart. I know you, God. You'll probably relent. I know you. I've proven you. I've seen your nature. You're so amazing and so good and so long-suffering. Knowing you, you might even relent because I know you and you're full of mercy. Yes, I'll go into your hand, but oh, keep me from the hands of men. I love this. Again, unusual confidence that David had. Convinced of God's nature, convinced of his mercy, therefore he could have hope. What a wonderful characteristic. This characteristic anchored David throughout his whole life. Another patriarch we'll look at today who placed confidence in God and his word was Abraham. Go to the right, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll jump in verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love the teeth in this text. I love the muscle in this text. I love the stability and the strength I hear in this text. Here we read at the latter part of verse 18, it uses the words hope and greatly encouraged in the same sentence. So number one today, we want to say that hope can be synonymous with confidence, number one. Number two, hope is also synonymous with encouragement. Hope is confidence. Hope is encouragement. And again, I know it can be strange encouragement in view of the opposing circumstances that can be around us. But what makes us hope is spiritual eyes that can still see through and look unto God. But I love here how it talked of the firmness and the security here. Hope breaks through and pushes through the appearance of natural surroundings, and it appeals to a higher court as it were. It keeps us, levels us, and holds us steady. Look here in verse 19. It goes so far as to say, hope is an anchor. I love that. Quote, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So number three, hope is an anchor. Hope is confidence, it's encouragement, and it's an anchor. It holds things. It secures things. How many of y'all have heard me tell the story growing up when we were at Topsail Beach and I tied our boat off? Y'all ever heard that me tell that story? If you have, forgive the redundancy. But we grew up skiing and fishing at Topsail Island before I talked my family into defecting to go to Atlantic Beach and Moorhead. But you know, a lot of fun out on the water, and but we would come in and dock the boat, tie up the bow to the pier, maybe a stern to a post, then get out and go in and clean the fish and get on about the day. But this one day, my dad got off the boat first. He said, can you secure it? Said, yeah, I got it. You ever heard someone say that before? Yeah, I got it. And, you know, I was about this high. And so I was the one that was tying off the boat. And so anyway, I tied it off, so I thought. And about 30 minutes later, we hear this on our door. And these guys came out and they said, and my dad was asleep. And they said, excuse me, is that your boat way down there? I said, way down where? They're like way down the channel. And I'm looking at my dad and I'm like, you know, and I'm walking out and I look and there's this white speck way down the Topsail Sound Channel on its way to Surf City where the current is just taking it, you know, down the sound. And I said, yeah. They said, do you want us to get it? I said, please, you know, go get it. So anyway, they went and retrieved our boat and brought it back. And certainly I had to face the music on that one. But it just was not secured. That's the point. It just was not held firm. It wasn't anchored secure. But we see people adrift all the time because they're devoid of hope. They don't really know to whom to look. And something happens, and there's a sense of, on the inside, and there's panic, we're frantic, we're tempted to just, you know, I saw something in the paper this morning, and I was like, you know, but thank God we can go beyond what we see just around us in the natural. And aren't you glad? We supersede the conditions. Even though it may be stormy and horrible, somehow through thrust and lift, if we can get beyond the fray of the clouds into those beautiful skies, the whole world is different there, is it not? And so we need that leverage. Hope will take us to the Lord. Hope will get us in a place of perspective. It will keep us out of discouragement. It'll keep us out of the mire. And a lot of times there's an emphasis on faith, which is great. We must have faith. But hope is the foundation even of faith. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. So it starts with hope. Then you find some good word to stand on. Then it becomes substantive. And then it manifests and materializes according to your faith. But it begins with hope. It begins with a sense of, I know God's nature. I know He's up to something. I know He'll have the final hand in the game. I know He's got another chapter. I know He's got another play. There's another move. There's another maneuver. I know God. God, you're up to something. You're always up to something. And He is. Never taken off guard, never taken by surprise. Aren't you glad about that? Again, the purpose of an anchor. What is that purpose for a boat? But to hold it steady, to hold it in place, right? Well, the author of Hebrews goes so far as to say, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. What's more important, a boat or our soul? Here, the author of Hebrews is saying we have hope as an anchor, not to some boat, but to our soul. It'll anchor our soul. It'll keep us steadfast when everything around us is falling apart like a $2 watch. Hello. It in an unusual way keeps us. And it's almost illogical. What is it that would keep us in the midst of fray? His keeping power. Now unto him who was able to keep you with his keeping power. Steady she blows. Hope will connect us to God in that way. Our soul needs an anchor, church. Our soul needs an anchor. It does keep us steady. Things are drifting all around us. Every day we wake up in a new world. Things adrift. Things are not anchored. They're mooring. They're not moored properly. They're not tied off. They're not held steady. And then you have the shifting winds and the waves and the things that just, it's just life. We don't even have to get spooky about it and call it warfare. It's just life. But just people push to and fro and stuff happens. But somehow we've got to back up and say, but God, you said those who look to you will never be dismayed. Those who look to you will not be disappointed. Let God be true and every man a liar. There just comes a point. See, David, he had proven this so many times, he thought, you've got another play. You've got another move. I know you. We need to know him in the same way. We don't want to become a little speck down the channel. Keep our confidence in the Lord. Keep our encouragement in the Lord. It said about David that he encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know what he did, but there come times, guys, where we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. It may mean put on the worship music and go after God. Whatever that means, getting in the Word, praying, it is imperative that we stay up. Hello? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We must stay up, number one, for ourselves, and number two, for someone else. I remember one time something happened and someone said, are you not bothered by this? I mean, it was pretty heavy. And I said, well, if I fall apart, what good am I going to do you? I give up my right to fall apart. I'm giving up my right to just cave in. And it was horrific news. I give up my, because if I do, how can I then therefore help you? How can the falling apart help the falling apart? Are we here? There's an anchor. There's some steady moorings. It doesn't mean that we're in denial in a Pollyanna way of things that go around, but yet there is an anchoring in the midst of that. Y'all, it's the very power of God. It's the same power that keeps Earth in its proper orbit. It's the same power that created the heavens and the earth. It's the same power that just allows creation to come forth every day. It's either real or it's not. And it's only in times of challenge do we know in whom we've believed. That's why President Bush said right after 9/11, he said, adversity introduces a man to himself. You never quite know what metal you're of until that challenge comes. But there is a staying power that's powerful. And when people see that you're giving up your right to cave in and to roll over and just spit and snort and grunt and huff and puff, you know, then they will go to you and say, how can you be so secure? Nothing in me. I'm just looking at him and he's just fine. And he'll download stability. He'll download steadiness of life and soul. He'll anchor us as we look to him. He steadies our hand. And people are like this every day. We know that. So it's unusual. And I'm not talking about someone who's demented and they just don't quite know the state of affairs. You know, there can be those that are just gullible, naive, and clueless about what's really going on. No, I'm talking about when you fully have a full appraisal of everything that's going on and you're still like this. Hope in God brings us to that place of composure. The author of Hebrews also said in chapter 10, 35, do not throw away your confidence. Why? It will be richly rewarded. Can you say richly rewarded? You may feel like everything's coming apart. It's like riding on an airplane and everything feels like it's coming apart. But of course, that captain will faithfully come on and say, we're experiencing some temporary turbulence. Hopefully, we'll find some clean air in about 10 more minutes. So just hang on with us and we'll be out of this shortly. So even though everything is like this, when the captain says, everything's okay, then you buckle up your seatbelt and you're having confidence that he knows what he's doing and that in a few moments, everything's going to be all right. But if the captain flew the door open and came running down the aisle, we're breaking up, you know, then that would be a sad day. But our captain is not saying that. Our captain is saying all is well. Our captain is saying keep a steady hand. Our captain is saying just look to me. I know what I'm doing. It feels as if the plane is coming apart. But I will bring you into clean air. I will find smooth air here in just a moment. Just stay the course. Do not throw in the towel. Don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded because people make decisions based on a lack of confidence, throw in the towel, and the reward was right around the corner had they just stayed the course. They were 1 inch from the goal line and gave in. And God was going, I was going to reward your confidence. You could have had a V8, but you gave in. You were just an inch away. I wanted to help you. I wanted to reward you. It will be richly rewarded. Again, not confidence in confidence, confidence in God. Confidence in God. I can't. Here's a good prayer. God, I can't. You can. Amen. Because we're confessing our humanity. We're confessing that we're just molded out of clay. We're not denying our challenge, but we're putting our gaze on him. God, I can't. You can. Thank you. Amen. The alternative would be to drift and lose proper moorings. We don't want to see a whole generation adrift when there's so much unfailing love. Unfailing love. Not just love. Unfailing love in Christ Jesus. That's what keeps us keeping on. We don't have confidence in our ability to stay the course. Our confidence is that he can keep us. So that's to whom we lean, his unfailing love. Our love fails. Our love is conditional. We cherry pick who we love. God's like, my unfailing love. Love never fails. My unfailing love. I do not waver. I am not stuttering. I am for you. Nothing can take that away from you. Nothing can take that away. Demons, no angels, life, death, nothing can shake you free from my heart concerning you. As we've said, believe it. That's the key. Believe it. Let it get on the inside of us. Unfailing love. Psalm 33:18 says, his eyes are on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. To whatever degree we've allowed hopelessness to settle in our hearts, it reveals there's a stronghold setting up shop in our soul and in our mind. To whatever degree hopelessness, I'm not talking about just touching you because we have times it's like, oh gosh, oh man, I'm laid low. But when it settles, we have to identify that's a stronghold because God would never say, just roll over and be discouraged. Never. He would never say, oh, be hopeless. If you ever identify hopelessness, know that that's a stronghold trying to set up a negative mindset. A stronghold merely means an idea that has a strong hold on our thinking. And we have to guard our thinking, you see. Romans 8:5 says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Don't know about you, but I'll sign up for a little life and peace. It's all about mindset. Mindset. The setting of our mind. The mind that is controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So if we're going to be controlled by something, I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God, then therefore bearing the fruit of life and peace. I want to set my mind there. Something's going to influence our thinking, is it not? That's why Paul told the Philippians, it's critical. It's critical that we watch over our thoughts. And that's why Paul said in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, then just be cynical and just write all that off. No, think on such things. If we're going to ponder something, ponder these things. Ponder a noble theme, a praiseworthy theme, an excellent theme. It's like you hear the bad news. It's like, all right, I hear that. I realize I'm not denying that. Now, what are we going to do in view of that? We're going to appeal to a higher court. We're going to say, all right, God, now what do you say? I've read that. It's not good. I heard that. I see that. Ooh, when you look at culture, it's like, oh, me. When you look at popular culture, oh, dear me. Sometimes you look at our nation, oh, my. But God, what are you doing? What are you saying? No one's going to pull the wool over your eyes. What are you doing? What are you saying? What would you have us do? This is what we meditate on. Set your mind. Set our minds. We put our hope in His unfailing love. Generating confidence, encouragement, anchoring us. 1 John 3:1-3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. We talked about that last week, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know it is that they don't know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself. The psalmist said in Psalm 42:5, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. I love that. Why so downcast? Why so disturbed? Put your hope in God. I mean, what a simple antidote, but we miss it. Put your hope in God. Why so downcast? For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. In other words, he's making a judgment. Why am I feeling the way I do? Why am I sensing this? All right, it's for a moment. I don't need to park here and stay here and pitch my tent here. Put my hope in God. What we see is subject to change. What is unseen is eternal. What we see is temporal. It's subject to change. And aren't you glad? You got some things in your life that need to be subject to change? Then we look to the invisible. The manifest in the visible. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. I love that. You see, hope will float us to the top, where we belong. Confidence in God. Encouragement in the Lord. Keeping us, tying us off to be steady, steadfast, firm. I love that. Our confidence, our encouragement, our anchor. Can we say amen to that? In a turbulent world, waking up to news every day, I like that. Ooh, I don't like that. Ooh, I'm laid low. Oh, me. Oh, my. What are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put our hope in God. Can we stand? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sign up for a little bit of hope today. What do you think? Father, we just pray according to Romans 5, Lord, that hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us. We just call ourselves today people of hope, people of good courage, people of strong conviction. Lord, though 1,000 fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, Lord, will not be moved because You are immovable. You are steadfast. You are the Lord God that changeth not, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we wake up in a different world every day. Lord, things and times are so flighty, so up and down. Dear me, we can't hardly even figure it out. But Lord, I thank You. You're unmoved and You're unchanging. And Lord, in that we put our strong faith this morning. Now, what we're doing today, we're just doing a transference of confidence from the thing that we're staring at that's pulling us down. What we're going to do is we're going to unhook the umbilical cord to that. Now we're going to plug it into God. My hope is in you. My hope. Can we just raise our hands to the Lord? Father, we're just reaching out. Lord, just see all these lightning rods down here today reaching to you. Father, I pray you fill our hearts with strong confidence. Lord, I pray we'd be so full that it not only would represent us properly, but we'd have enough, Lord, to leaven the person on our right, the person on our left. Tomorrow as we go into the workplace, may our strong hope get off on some folk. When they see, why are you so up? There's so much to be down about. May we have opportunity to give an account for the hope within. Lord, thank you for strong encouragement. Thank you for a secure anchor that you are. Hallelujah. You're not moved, therefore, we're not going to be moved. In Jesus' name.